KNW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Mike Dubusky. President Biden continues to test negative for COVID days after First Lady Jill Biden tested positive. Aides say there are no changes to his schedule. Nationwide COVID hospitalizations are up nearly 16% in the past week. ABC's Ariel Reshef says a new COVID booster could be on the way.
Moderna just announcing results for its new COVID booster, the vaccine maker reporting nearly a ninefold increase in antibodies against the Omicron subvariant BA286. Many scientists had expressed concern about these boosters' effectiveness. Given all of the mutations of this variant, the booster could become available as soon as late next week.
A federal judge in New York granted writer E. Jean Carroll a partial summary judgment in the defamation case against former President Trump. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Ukraine meeting with President Zelensky and pledging more U.S. aid. Extreme heat keeping its grip on the Midwest and Northeast. Some schools are switching to remote learning. This is ABC News. New details about convicted killer Alex Murdaugh's request for a new trial. His attorneys claim the jury had undue influence in that March conviction, allegedly from Rebecca Hill, a court clerk who wanted a book deal.
Murdaugh's lawyers say Hill tampered with the jury by advising them not to believe Murdaugh's testimony and other evidence presented by the defense, pressuring the jury to reach a quick guilty verdict. They also claim Hill invented a story about a Facebook post to remove a juror she believed might not vote guilty, all to secure for herself a book deal and media appearances that would not happen in the event of a mistrial.
It's ABC's Andrew Dimbert. Three sailors rescued after their inflatable catamaran came under attack from sharks more than 500 miles off the Australian coast. The men from Russia and France were picked up by rescuers after their emergency beacon sent out a distress call. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Democrats say impeaching Janet Protasiewicz would be like throwing out a million votes. Ben Wickler is chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party.
Try selling that to the voters who just elected Justice Protasiewicz in an 11-point landslide. Voters do not like having their voting rights ripped away. They've responded to those threats before, and make no mistake, they would do so again.
A $4 million campaign is underway to turn up public pressure on Republicans against impeachment. Wisconsin Republican Party Chair Brian Schimming says Democrats are trying to divert attention from things Protasiewicz has said, which he calls partisan and inappropriate. Republicans want to deregulate Wisconsin's child care industry instead of giving it more money. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
The Assembly Committee on Children and Families is taking up five GOP bills today, which would relax a number of state laws. Among other things, it would let kids as young as 16 watch younger kids without supervision. Governor Evers tried and failed to fully fund the state subsidy program for child care centers in the new state budget. Wisconsin's child care industry is struggling. Centers can't afford to pay their workers competitive wages, and tuition is a burden for many working families. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
Another Republican bill getting a hearing today would create tax-deductible accounts in which families, employers, and others could contribute a combined $10,000 a year to pay for child care expenses. People who work for tips in Wisconsin would get a raise under a new bill. The tipped wage in Wisconsin is $2.33 an hour. The Democratic bill would raise it to $7.25. State Representative Francesca Hong of Madison is also a restaurant owner.
Everyone is entitled to a living wage, and we shouldn't have an industry where workers have to rely on the arbitrariness of tips to live that right.
Wisconsin is one of just 15 states with a lower minimum wage for those who work for tips. An assembly committee is considering a new $3 billion Republican tax cut. It would lower taxes for individuals who make up to $304,000 a year and married couples who bring in as much as $405,000. Republicans also want to end the state's tax on the first $150,000 of retirement income. Governor Evers vetoed a similar Republican tax cut in the state budget. A new study finds most older adults are not prepared to respond quickly to natural disasters. Here's Mike Moan.
Fewer than one in three adults age 50 and older have created an emergency plan for wildfires, flooding, tornadoes, summer heat domes, or winter bomb cyclones. The findings were issued by AARP and the University of Chicago. Tom Camber with AARP says the first step is to ensure having access to vital information.
Getting signed up for alerts so that you're given accurate information in time, as we all saw with the recent fires in Hawaii, just a few minutes was the difference in life and death for people to be able to evacuate or respond to a crisis.
AARP offers a template for creating an emergency plan and links to resources at aarp.org/disaster-prep. I'm Mike Moen.
Seven recent graduates of UW-Oshkosh will have to pay thousands of dollars they were undercharged for tuition. University officials blame a coding error for bills that went out lower than they should have been. UWO sent out a second round of bills for the difference, and the graduates of the Executive Master in Business Administration program are caught by surprise. Now they'll each have to come up with nearly $7,000 since they no longer qualify for federal student aid. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. There are new details about the stabbing that killed a 39-year-old Clintonville woman. Clintonville police were called around 12:30 on Monday afternoon to Memorial Circle to find a woman on the ground and bleeding. Police say 19-year-old Jordan Peters was at the scene and admitted to stabbing the 39-year-old woman when they were driving. The woman managed to exit the car and call 911. She passed away after being airlifted to the hospital. Peters has not been charged yet, but will appear in court on Monday. Brown County officials have labeled September Celebrate Recovery Month. The goal is to bring more awareness to recovery and drug addiction and community services available to those suffering from addiction issues. Brown County Health and Human Services gave $62,000 in grant money from the federal government to the Jackie Nitschke Recovery Center. The center says it will help them fund a new permanent position to help those leaving the recovery center as they get back to their lives. A fire causes major damage to a popular resort in Door County. Civic Media Stewart Jay Waddles has more.
Up to 25 area fire departments responded to a fire at Rowley's Bay Resort in Ellison Bay yesterday. Crews got an emergency call yesterday afternoon at about 12:30 p.m. They arrived by 1 to find heavy flames. Officials say the fire started in the basement. The building was evacuated quickly and no one was hurt. As for the resort, Liberty Grove Fire Chief Chris Hecht called the damage to the resort a very significant loss. The cause of the fire is under investigation. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
And finally, a man led authorities on a low-speed chase in Stoughton. The Stoughton Police Department says they tried to pull over a moped driven by a 20-year-old man around midnight on September 1st. The driver refused to pull over and did his best to elude police. After being caught, the driver was asked why he tried to flee, given his not-so-sweet ride. He said he thought it was worth a shot. Probably rare for the police to be involved in a chase and not have to put down their coffee. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A cloud-covered, dreary day today, with highs hitting the upper 70s to low 80s for south-central hometowns. Meanwhile, the chilly air begins to sink into the Northwoods, with highs only in the 60s. Don't blame me. It's the low-pressure system that's headed over Lake Michigan and dragged a cold front along with it and across the state overnight. While you were sleeping, the northern half of Wisco picked up a much-needed quarter of an inch of rain to over 2 inches in Solon Springs. Scattered showers and a few more rumbles of thunder are expected to sprinkle across the state on and off still, mainly targeting the eastern areas. As winds whip out of the north, gusting up to 25 miles per hour, it's dragging in the fall-like temps for tomorrow. Highs will be crisp and cool, only rising to the mid-50s and mid-60s. Shocking, isn't it? Better get those bonfires ready. Have a wonderful Wednesday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers go for a series win in Pittsburgh. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Pirates are underway at PNC Park for the final match in their three-game series. Last night, the Crew with a 7-3 win over Pittsburgh. Brandon Woodruff pitched seven scoreless innings for Milwaukee, and Mark Canha again driving in runners on base.
And now second and third and one away, and Mark Canha is at the plate. Canha into left field, a base hit. Contreras coming around. To score, Santana will be held as the ball is bobbled by Palacios. Now Santana coming home. He will score. Canha is in a rundown and tagged out. Regardless, it's 7-0.
Highlight courtesy Bally Sports Wisconsin. Canha has successfully reached on base in 16 consecutive games and was asked about his approach at the plate.
Just the way I've been staying in the moment and just being present, kind of taking what the pitcher gives me and having feel for the game. And I think that's kind of the most important thing, and just being in the moment.
The Brewers now with a 2.5 game lead over the Chicago Cubs, who beat the Giants again, this time 11-8. Brewers manager Craig Counsell was asked if getting Brian Anderson back into the batting order was anywhere on his priority list.
The priority is to win games, and that's first. Andrew's playing well. I've talked to Brian a couple times, and I think he's done a good job of just trying to stay ready, and it's not easy, but you know, the priority is always going to be just to win the game, and that's not going to change.
College football, Badgers head coach Luke Fickell, after watching the tape of Wisconsin's win over Buffalo, and Badgers quarterback Tanner Mordecai with one touchdown and two interceptions.
You can hesitate, you can get mad, you can throw your hands up in the air, then all of a sudden you act like you're going to make the play, and you don't. And in both of the interceptions, he made the play. The one he made the guy cut back, they end up falling, but they end up getting no points out of that, you know, and he makes the tackle pretty much on the second one. And to me, that's more of what I want to see more than anything else.
Running back Braylon Allen says he and fellow running back Chez Merlucci are friends and competitors.
You know, being close off the field helps you hold each other accountable. You know, when one guy isn't playing up to his standard, or he's not doing the right things on or off the field, you know, you can kind of get into him a little bit. And we respect that out of each other.
NFL, the Packers open the season on the road Sunday for the fifth time in a row when they face the Chicago Bears in Chicago. It's the first NFL game for new punter Daniel Whelan, who says he used to watch tape of the man he beat in camp for the job, Pat O'Donnell.
You know, I looked at the Pat when I was coming out of college, tried to mimic my game, so to come and compete with him, I was like, all right, we're here, let's do it. So try to get better every day, watch him.
Now, the last time the Packers played in Chicago, Aaron Rodgers told Bear fans he owns them. What does Jordan Love think?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's excited for, you know, season start for week one. Obviously, you know, playing the Bears, which is our rival. So, you know, everyone's just, I think, really excited, you know, getting that ball rolling with the season starting. Can focus on, you know, game plan and, you know, what Chicago's doing.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like her quince's. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast. Scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Otherwise, mainly cloudy skies expected. Highs around 78. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered storms again. Tonight, lows around 56. Cloudy. Slight chance for scattered showers. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 63. Overcast. Mainly clear skies and quiet Friday, with daytime highs approaching 67. 71 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 72.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution, joined by Mr. Luke Mathers and Mr. Aaron Zommers. Gentlemen, how you doing on this Wednesday afternoon, the Wednesdayest of the week?
Absolutely. Oh, it is absolutely the most Wednesday of the week, and doing well. Will, how about yourself?
Do you like my use of Wednesdayest as an adjective?
It's the Wednesdayestnessest day of the Wednesdays? I don't know. Yeah, it was better than that. So yours was
one
good.
Wednesday to rule them all. Aaron, how are you doing this Wednesday?
See, one Wednesday to rule them all. It is the most Wednesday, but it's not the best Wednesday. Or at least not your favorite Wednesday. So is it the one Wednesday to rule them all?
I think it is the best Wednesday because it's the only Wednesday. It's the true Wednesday.
The one true Wednesday. This is starting to get into a brain churner for me.
I was going to say, it's getting a little meta.
I'm going to need to take some time in a dark room like Wednesdays, Aaron Rodgers, to like think about this one before I can come to a conclusion.
Wednesdays are great because Wednesdays mean volleyball for me. And that means that it's kind of like one of those centering points of the week for me. For me. So I don't mind a Wednesday.
So then that's not Wednesdays are the best. Wednesdays are your favorite Wednesday.
Sure. We can do that.
What's
and
the
it's
most
not just Wednesdays with Will
Wednesday
anymore. It's Will all
the
time.
Week.
It's Will all the time here on Town Call now.
Yeah, you got to deal with me all the time, people. We could start having what are the most like Wednesday headlines of the week. Try to go find super, super Wednesday-related stories every week. See what I'm able to dig up. Maybe that's how I can get a winning record back on track. I don't know. We'll have to see.
If you can find something at all. I really don't know what the criteria are.
Yeah, that seems like just a weird fool's errand, but whatever.
I'm shooting from the hip. We'll figure it out as we go. So, gentlemen, today I would like to cover a story over from the AP, complaints over campaign comments by Wisconsin Supreme Court justices are dismissed. Obviously, this has been a very hot-button issue with the Wisconsin GOP's back and forth on whether or not they plan to impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz, but a state judiciary disciplinary panel has rejected several complaints lodged against Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Protasiewicz that alleged she violated the Judicial Code of Ethics for comments she made during the campaign. It is a setback to Republicans who argued those remarks could warrant impeachment. I want to ask you, the people of Wisconsin, what are your thoughts on the dismissal of these complaints, and what are your thoughts on impeaching the Supreme Court justice that just won her election by 11 points in the state of Wisconsin, a Wisconsin landslide, as we frequently note? Give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789.
Yeah, we want to hear those thoughts because, you would think, Will, that this board is what would be at least the initial investigation into whether or not these comments that some people are saying were improper during the campaign trail. We elect judges here in Wisconsin, a process that we dove into thoroughly throughout the Civic Media has been covering the Supreme Court race all the way up through April, and the results that have followed since April, that this was a very closely looked at election. It was the most money that had ever been spent in a judicial race in the entire country. It shattered
with 4x, Luke.
Yeah, it shattered Wisconsin's previous record, and it shattered national records for how much money, how much focus was put onto this race from both the candidates, both now Justice Protasiewicz and former Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly, but also outside groups as well. And so there was a ton of focus, there was a ton of spending. The
56 million.
The voters in Wisconsin knew what was at stake in this election, and they, as you've noted, that 11-point victory for Protasiewicz was pretty resounding. It's a mandate. You do not win an election by that large of a margin in a purple state like Wisconsin without the voters wanting that outcome. That is a desired outcome by the voters, and as somebody watching the race, that was pretty clear to me. And so then the results of that April election, we saw at the time a runoff primary for, or no, that was the special election for the state Senate. It was that same day that Protasiewicz was elected with that 11-point margin. There was a new member that was going to be sworn in to the state Senate in your neck of the woods, Will. My
literal district, yeah.
Yes, you were represented by this state senator. And before he was even seated, talking about prejudged outcomes, before he was even seated, he started floating the idea of impeaching Protasiewicz for her comments then. That sounds pretty prejudged, but these comments went before the Judicial Review Board here in Wisconsin. There is a board that oversees these comments to see how judges in Wisconsin conduct themselves. And these complaints were dismissed back on May 31st, Will. Back right at the week of Memorial Day. We just wrapped up Labor Day this week. Back in Memorial Day, these complaints were being dismissed. They did not have a basis. But now the Labor Day is over. The fall legislative session is here. And there have been lawsuits filed with the turn of the Supreme Court. For 15 years, it was represented by a 4-3 conservative majority. That makeup is now a 4-3 liberal majority. And there are individuals in Wisconsin that are not happy with those results. And it seems like the Wisconsin legislature and a lot of Republican lawmakers in the state are going to do whatever they can to try to stop the control of power that they currently hold. Like, they want to hold on to power. And so we've even heard that the goal is not to remove Justice Protasiewicz, because that would require her to have done some wrongdoing. But this judicial panel has ruled that those complaints filed against her are meritless. So they're not going to try to remove her. They're going to try to do an impeachment to try to make it so that she can't rule on any case, including the two redistricting lawsuits that have been filed since the changing of the court back at the beginning of last month.
Well, plus, if they wanted to remove her, then they'd have to have somebody else who's electable to get in. And
Evers gets to a point. Yeah, so yeah. It's still a 10-year term. It's still a 10-year term. And so the removal through impeachment would not all of a sudden prompt another election. The governor would appoint somebody to fill that vacancy then. And so it's a lot of politics being played. It's very confusing. It's if you're not looking to pay attention to something like this, it can kind of be washed away as, oh, well, both sides are complaining about maps and Supreme Courts and who's recusing and who's not. It can be very confusing.
Confusing. Remember, the powers that be, they are your boss, your landlord, the people who have direct control over your day-to-day life. They care about these issues because they understand the importance of it. But by making these stories as convoluted as possible, I think a lot of representatives are kind of banking on the fact that most Wisconsinites just won't pay attention or won't be interested enough to follow along.
Yes. And so we want to hear your thoughts. These complaints have been dismissed now from this body that adjudicates how judges conduct themselves here in Wisconsin. They have been...
Luke, also, for some context, this is not, you know, a three-person, behind-the-scenes, shadowy cabal of a judicial commission. This is a 9-member commission that serves as one of the very few avenues through which people can challenge the actions of Supreme Court justices. It is tasked with investigating judges and court commissioners who are accused of violating the state's judicial code of conduct. Its members include 2 lawyers and 2 judges appointed by the Supreme Court and 5 non-lawyers appointed by the governor to 3-year terms.
So pretty thorough there, I feel like, of a reviewing body for these comments. This is where you would think that if there was impropriety in the statements running up and leading to the election of a Supreme Court justice here to a 10-year term in Wisconsin, that's where we would find out. That first body would be then. And then you'd see it escalate from there. If there was wrongdoing found, then it would go to the legislature, and legislature would, through checks and balances, look to see what kind of accountability could have on the judiciary here in Wisconsin. But it seems like it was already a foregone conclusion when the conservative lawmakers lost this seat, and the conservative candidate lost the seat, Dan Kelly, that there was going to be an undue exercise of power by lawmakers to try to prevent or at least delay, because that's really what it seems like. If they're not going to try to remove her, it seems like it is going to be used as a delay tactic. And so the question is, what are your thoughts on that? Do you believe that this is right for the state, the way that our state is conducting business right now, the way that our government operates, to be slowed down after Wisconsin voters went to the polls in April, said, hey, we want a new makeup of the state's highest court. This is what we want to see reflected in our Supreme Court, because that's what elections are, electing individuals that represent their values, or as we've heard from callers on this show before, sometimes they don't necessarily agree with everything, but they're voting against a different candidate. Some voters just didn't want Dan Kelly on the court again. We want to hear your thoughts, 844-967-2789, about these complaints being dismissed. Up first on this Wednesday afternoon, we got Karina in Milwaukee calling in. Karina, your thoughts on the judicial body dismissing these complaints against Justice Protasiewicz?
Well, I'm 100% with you on that. She did not commit any crime against the people or the government in the seat. She's barely 30 days. Now, a whole conversation should be dismissed and not entertained whatsoever because there is no evidence of a crime. Wait until she commits a freaking crime and then go for it. Telling your opinion about a situation and a hypothetical cases or real ones is absolute her power. It's the power of a person who lives in the United States to give their opinion at any point. Aren't we talking about freedom of speech for crying out loud? This is ridiculous, and this is a filibustering. They do that on purpose so they can keep her away for another 2 years, because that impeachment can go for a long time. They don't have to push it through. They just have to make it happen. And they're going to put her on off the bench, and she wouldn't be able to make any decisions. And they need that so they can push through the Republican candidate on every possible level, along with the Trump, for the vote for the next 2024. Because otherwise we're going to have a complete insanity in the spring. And this is the chaos they want, because they thrive in chaos. They want chaos so they can hide their ways and give people something else to look at.
Karina, we appreciate the phone call. We're going to continue on with the phone lines. And coming up next, we're going to be joined by Dan Schaefer for a Wednesday recombobulation segment. Coming up, stay tuned to Town Call across Civic Media.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusky. President Biden continues to test negative for COVID days after First Lady Jill Biden tested positive. Aides say there are no changes to his schedule. Nationwide COVID hospitalizations are up nearly 16% in the past week. ABC's Ariel Reshef says a new COVID booster could be on the way.
Moderna just announcing results for its new COVID booster. The vaccine maker reporting nearly a nine-fold increase in antibodies against the Omicron subvariant BA286. Many scientists had expressed concern about these boosters' effectiveness. Given all of the mutations of this variant, the booster could become available as soon as late next week.
A federal judge in New York granted writer E. Jean Carroll a partial summary judgment in the defamation case against former President Trump. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Ukraine meeting with President Zelensky and pledging more U.S. aid. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. There are new details about the stabbing that killed a 39-year-old Clintonville woman. Clintonville police were called around 12:30 on Monday afternoon to Memorial Circle to find a woman on the ground and bleeding. Police say 19-year-old Jordan Peters was at the scene and admitted to stabbing the 39-year-old woman. When they were driving, the woman managed to exit the car and call 911. She passed away after being airlifted to the hospital. Peters has not been charged yet, but will appear in court on Monday. Rocker Bret Michaels sent waves through social media Monday with a post from Northeast Wisconsin. The 60-year-old Poison frontman and reality TV star paid his mom a surprise visit on Labor Day in Crivitz. Michaels is performing with other 80s rockers this Friday night in Green Bay at Capital Credit Union Park. He also promised to return next summer and play a big concert in Crivitz. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
It's that time. Kids are back in school. And that means it's time to take special precautions to slow down in school zones. Watch for children in crosswalks and be extra careful around school buses picking up or dropping off our children. Put the phone down. Concentrate on driving. Brought to you by Shore West Realtors, 839 Lombardi Avenue. Call 920-593-4100, 920-593-4100 to buy or sell your home.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations? Have you changed the station due to mean-spirited rhetoric? Wouldn't it be refreshing to listen and engage in civilized dialogue about politics and how issues affect our families differently? Welcome to the Rational Revolution. I'm Chris Elfheim.
And I'm Emily Sefos. Together, we'll look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. So join us on Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Most of us are not just red or blue. We're kind of purple. We want to do what's right while protecting our individual freedoms.
Join the Rational Revolution with hosts Chris Elfheim and Emily Sefos, Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
There is a fifth dimension. Beyond that which is known to man.
Milwaukee's best.
It's a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity.
Hey man, what about Milwaukee, man?
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
I think God would want us to go to Milwaukee.
And it lies between the pit of a man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
What do you think about Milwaukee?
This is the dimension of imagination. You are now entering the recombobulation area.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area on this Wednesday afternoon. Dan, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks so much for having me on. And that intro just brings me so much joy each time I hear it. I just love it. Thanks, guys.
It gets better every week.
We have to ask, though, Kristen, you know, favorite talk show host in Milwaukee market now. We may have to steal Milwaukee's best from your intro and save that for Kristen now. But you do appear on As Goes Wisconsin as well, and that was yesterday. In Jane's absence, is Greg still playing your walk-up music correctly?
He did play some of the walk-up music there. He asked me for some of my own walk-up music yesterday. We played some Beastie Boys there, too, so that was fun.
There you go. Well, delighted to have you join us here on this Wednesday afternoon, discussing the dismissal of the complaints brought against Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz. What we were discussing before we had you join us here, we do have a couple of callers that want to share their 2 cents here on Town Call. You can do so at 844-967-2789. Up next on this Wednesday afternoon, we got Rick and Rhinelander calling in. Rick, what are your thoughts about these complaints being dismissed?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. My take on this is that the Republican legislature is essentially minority rule. They've used gerrymandering to get a majority that otherwise would be unobtainable through the voters selecting the politicians as opposed to the politicians selecting the voters. And they're scared to death of the Supreme Court doing its job, which is to promote democracy and having free and fair elections. And they don't want fair maps. So consequently, the only avenue available to them is to impeach Justice Protasiewicz to continue this minority rule, which is really anti-democratic and outrageous. And I appreciate you bringing this topic to the attention of your listeners.
Well, absolutely, Rick. And it is interesting to see that this was a letter, a private letter that was sent to Protasiewicz, letting her know that the complaints were dismissed all the way back in May. Do you find it shocking that this is even I don't know if the individuals then that also brought the complaints received that they were dismissed. I would expect that to be the case. But we, the Wisconsin public, only learning about this because Protasiewicz sharing the details of that letter. Would you find it surprising to know if some of the people pushing these complaints and saying that the impeachment was needed were already notified several months ago as well that this was unfounded and these claims for impeachment were unnecessary?
I would say it's almost a certainty. These people know what they're doing. I mean, it's similar to the Gableman circus where there was no foundational reason for an investigation. There was no evidentiary reason for that investigation. And merely it is a political maneuver to cement power improperly within the Republican control of the legislature, in the case of Gableman, within federal control of the executive branch. This is becoming a consistent pattern. It's anti-democratic. It's it flies in the face of what the founding fathers envisioned for a constitutional democracy, the republic that we have. And it really is quite alarming. I am extremely concerned, and I hope that your listeners take heart in what you're trying to warn them about, that these people know full well that Justice Protasiewicz has done nothing wrong, but they simply are using whatever flimsy and improper excuses to try and maintain minority rule. And it comes down to the voters should pick their politicians. The politicians should not be able to pick their voters. And that's what they've been able to do over the past decade, and they want to continue.
Really appreciate your phone call this afternoon, Rick. And one final question for you before we let you go. How do you listen to Town Call here on Civic Media on this Wednesday afternoon?
I happen to be driving down to Chicago and tuned in your radio station, which unfortunately I'm walking away from the truck. I can't tell you. We're over here by Plainfield. So whatever FM station that covers Plainfield, that is where I was listening to your your program, but I truly appreciate what you're doing.
Absolutely, Rick. Well, do us a favor. Download the Civic Media app on your smartphone. You can take us with you on the go then. So throughout all your travels, doesn't matter if you're passing through any of the signals, you can take us with you wherever you go. And we safe travels on your trip down to Chicago. You could be like
Thanks
Rick.
Thanks for the call, Rick.
Yeah, excellent call, Rick. You can be like Rick. 844-967-2789. If you've got a question for Dan Schaefer, editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, you can do so as well. 844-967-2789. Dan,
look, can I jump off of Rick, one comment that Rick made too? I want to point out that the Judicial Commission's executive director, Jeremiah Van Heck, referred to several complaints that it had received and dismissed without action. Now, the commission did not give a reason for why it dismissed the complaints, but Van Heck said that it had reviewed her comments, the Judicial Code of Ethics, state Supreme Court rules, and relevant decisions by the state and U.S. Supreme Courts, noting that a federal court in Wisconsin ruled there is a distinction between a candidate stating personal views during a campaign and making a pledge, promise, or commitment to ruling in a certain way, which is, again, exactly what Janet Protasiewicz has been saying from the beginning. These are my values. I am not ruling on a case, but this is what I believe in. And federal precedent says that that is okay. So a lot of these bad faith actors within the Wisconsin Republican Party are very well aware that this is the law of the land, and they are just trying to, again, usurp that in order to cement their power.
Excellent jumping off, Will. Excellent jumping off. And Dan, there are a number of groups that want to get the word out of these complaints being dismissed. We've learned today that the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, along with several other organizations, we don't know who all those organizations are, pledging about $4 million for an ad and PR campaign surrounding this information, getting out to Wisconsin voters. Your thoughts on kind of the pushback that the Democratic Party is going to be doing for these complaints that are getting picked up. Everybody here in Wisconsin, all the major news outlets, the reporters are covering these calls by Republican lawmakers as for impeachment as news. And so the Dem Party going to decide to do a little bit of paid advertising to try to get the word out there about these complaints being dismissed. Your thoughts on that maneuver by Ben Wickler and the DPW?
Yeah, I think it's certainly a very interesting move. You know, they are not messing around here with this issue. They're getting into the mix right away. And I think one of the most interesting aspects of it is that it really takes every last state legislator to task on this and to try to find out where they stand. So they put out a website called Defend Justice, and there you can see kind of where each state legislator stands on removal of Janet Protasiewicz. So I think if you scroll through, you can see that, you know, just about every Democrat registers as being against removal. And then the majority of the Republicans are still undecided, with basically Robin Voss and new state senator Dan
Knoebel, neck of the woods,
being registered as being ones that are supports removal. I thought it was interesting. One Republican state legislator on there, Representative Kitchens, who represents Door County, he was against removal. So one Republican against removal. But I think this is a really interesting way to do it, because every last legislator should be put on the record about whether or not they support this outrageous attempt to impeach. They can't just hide behind Robin Voss. Robin Voss, you know, he's used to taking these arrows from the media. He's going on Stop the Steal radio to try to explain these things away. But I think, you know, making it so that every legislator is on the record for this and recorded where they stand on this issue, I think that is a really interesting approach here, and is one that, you know, I'm going to be watching as, you know, local media tries to get some of these folks on the record and find out where they stand. Because again, it's Robin Voss, of course, runs the show, but he's not the only one there. You know, is there dissension within the ranks? Are there people that have different views of this? Are there people in swing districts who could be taking a difficult vote here on, you know, removal or impeachment or whatever it might be that the voters could turn around in 2024 when every member of the assembly and at least half of the state Senate will be up for reelection? So, you know, it's a really, really interesting move by Wisconsin Democrats. And I think, you know, as someone who previewed every last seat in the Wisconsin State Legislature. I love seeing that list of just about everybody on there. It's not just leadership. It's not just Voss. It's not just the loudest voices that we hear from the legislature. It's everybody within the ranks who should be put to task on this.
I was going to say, you reviewing all of those elections, I'm sure, have some at least understanding of the hard work that is going to go into for local media outlets and if politicos out there as well, trying to find those answers of where their elected officials stand on this issue. It is going to be interesting whether or not, though, this is a delay tactic or if this is something that just all of a sudden public pressure does away with. And Will's pointed out, Will's like, we've been covering this for some time now, and this has been floated and discussed, and it's one of those things that it felt like it was a fringe issue for a little while. It was kind of like, nah, there's no way that they'd actually be serious about trying to impeach a justice that was just elected by 11-point margin. But
Ben Wickler called it a political nuclear football.
Well, that's a hell of a quote right there by the DPW chair. But it would be very interesting to see what the fallout would be if this vote is taken or how this process goes in 2024, 2026, and beyond, because I feel like it would be a pretty stark line drawn in the sand for Wisconsin politics is if this is all of a sudden the next step that is taken here in Wisconsin.
I also think it's not unexpected. I think, you know, we've had Robin Voss running the legislature for more than a decade now. We've seen the approach that he's taken, you know, after the 2018 election, working to remove powers from the governor and the attorney general, after the 2020 election, revisiting and calling into question the legitimacy of the votes, launching the Gableman investigation, putting Janelle Branch in charge of the Assembly's Elections Committee. And now with this election, you know, essentially trying to walk back the results. You know, this is not exactly a surprising turn from Robin Voss, and it's power consolidation at all cost at all times with Voss, and the maps have always been his skeleton key to keeping power in Wisconsin, no matter how many statewide elections that Republicans lose. You know, Robin Voss, not a particularly popular leader. He had
12% approval rating right now.
12% favorability rating the last time the Marquette University Law Poll pulled this. So not exactly a well-liked individual across the state of Wisconsin, but he is going to do everything he can to cling to power, and the maps are the best way for him to keep that power. And so he's going to do everything he can to keep the maps. I'm not surprised at all that they're going forward with this impeachment stuff. This is just completely predictable and on brand for the way Robin Voss runs the legislature.
It's Vossian, as long as we're making up new adjectives today.
Yeah. And I tweeted about this yesterday when there was some moves, as there was a story in CNN, and I talked about how the Vossiest move would be to vote to remove in the Assembly, do nothing in the Senate, and put the court into deadlocked limbo. I think that is the type of thing that seems like the Vossiest move on the board to make right now.
Interesting. Well, it's something to keep an eye on. If you are not subscribed to the Recombobulation area, you absolutely should be, so you can get Dan's takes on all of Wisconsin and Milwaukee news. We're going to continue the conversation. We've also got a conversation taking place at the Wisconsin Capitol today about Republican proposals to address child care concerns here in the state. We're going to get to that subject and your phone calls, 844-967-2789. You are listening to Town Call across Civic Media.
Turn on the TV, just sit and stare.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2023 Bank of America N.A.
Protect your family from radon. Radon causes lung cancer,
and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free test kit at newradon.com. That's newradon.com.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. High of 78 this afternoon under overcast skies with scattered thunderstorms likely. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered storms again tonight. Lows around 56. Cloudy skies. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 63. Cloudy skies expected. Mainly sunny skies and calm Friday with daytime highs approaching 67. 71 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 71.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789.
Yeah, and if you want to share those thoughts, we want to hear them. On the phone lines, we've got Joe in Madison calling in for our conversation on these complaints being dismissed against Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Joe, your thoughts on this Wednesday afternoon?
My thoughts are, what else do we need? It's done. And instead, we're going to be looking at these gymnastics, this silliness, this needs to be called what it is, a big waste of time and money as Robin Voss seeks to put himself into pretzel state shapes to come up with an impeachment. It's quite clear in the Wisconsin Constitution that it says impeachment of a Supreme Court justice requires evidence of corruption or criminality while a justice. Okay, where? What are we going to have? Is it going to be like the empty books that Trump had when he was talking about his health care plan? He, you know, pointed to this as his health care plan. It was a book that they discovered was full of empty pages. What is the evidence of the corruption or the criminality for which they want to impeach Janet Protasiewicz? And not saying that she's going to recuse is not evidence of corruption or criminality. And we would go back to the court case in 2017 with good old Gableman. When he was on the Supreme Court, and he refused to recuse, his fellow justices voted and said, that's just fine. Your recusal just depends on whether the individual justice wants to do it or not. So where are we with this? I think we need to call this out to say it's silliness. It's a big waste, again, of taxpayer money and time, because there is no evidence of corruption or criminality, and that's what is required for impeachment of a state Supreme Court justice in the state of Wisconsin. So that's my little tirade. And again, let's put a price tag on it in terms of the money and the time that's going down the drain for this little drama. Thanks a lot, guys.
Absolutely, Joe. Appreciate the phone call on this Wednesday afternoon. It seems like there's going to be time, energy, and effort wasted, Dan, for this instance. But it seems like maybe that's just to fill the void, because there's not a whole lot of agreement being found. We're going to still wait to see whether or not a tax cut proposal by the Republicans will see support from the governor. Governor Tony Evers vetoed a large portion of the tax cut proposal authored by legislative Republicans. In trying to find compromise, we're having some public hearings at the state capitol today in regards to child care, something that the governor has insisted upon needs to be addressed here in the state of Wisconsin if he were to find any form of compromise on tax cuts. And so the proposals that have been authored by Republican lawmakers getting their public hearings, and it it seems like there's been some pushback from Democratic lawmakers, from advocates in the childcare industry. Your thoughts on the public hearings that are taking place today and these proposals authored by Republicans to address the childcare situation here in the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, so I was just before I jumped on here with you folks, I was tuned into Wisconsin Eye watching the committee hearing that was taking place on this package of bills that was being introduced by Republican lawmakers. Of course, like you mentioned, Tony Evers calling a special session on childcare that is set to happen later this month. So this is just kind of the, you know, Republicans that have coming to the table and having a debate, having a discussion about what might be done. They're just doing their own thing and putting their own proposals forward. And the proposals are pretty bad, I must say. They are, you know, it is not going to really meet the needs that childcare providers have been seeing over and over again throughout the budget process, throughout the past year, with the threat of pandemic era relief ending, federal relief ending. And, you know, they put forth a number of proposals. You know, one increases maximum ratios of children to providers. One allows for more, kind of relaxes regulations on 16-year-olds being childcare providers. It creates a interest-free loan program for these providers. Not sure how they'd be paying this back exactly. A loan, not a grant, as many of the Democratic representatives were pointing out in the hearing that was happening just before I jumped on with you here. So I think that it just and I talked to a number of childcare providers about this. It just seems to be like these are getting widely panned. And it's like people really want the Child Care Counts program to continue. Republicans are letting it expire and having these really terrible, not even half measures put in. I saw a quote from a local child care provider in the Milwaukee area last week telling CBS 58 that the Republican bills would make people want to quit more. That's a quote, that they would want to quit more than they already would in the current scenario, which is already putting too much stress on these providers. And Child Care Counts was able to increase wages, keep these places open. It's a program that has been successful, and extending it would continue to build on it and start to go in a better direction. What Republicans have proposed is something quite different. And so I think you're going to see, you know, these bills are going to be dead in the water. Evers is absolutely going to be vetoing these if they were to pass through the legislature. I don't even know if they will. These are really not anywhere close to hitting the mark on what Wisconsin needs for childcare.
And do you believe these public hearings are kind of just ahead of, I believe 2 weeks from today is the calling of the special session. Is it what they're trying to do? Because if past special sessions are any indicator of what Republican lawmakers plan to do 2 weeks from today when they have to gavel in to that special session, they're just going to gavel out. Is the fact that they're holding these public hearings just to try to say, hey, look, we're trying to address this
justify
issue.
That they tried.
We're going through the motions over here. Or do you believe that these lawmakers sincerely believe that this is the only way that we can address child care here in the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, it seems like a little bit of both, but I do think that the main goal is to try and undercut the goals of the governor's special session. And it does seem like that is, you know, certainly a driving force behind this, because otherwise, why would they schedule this so quickly? Like, they introduced these bills on Thursday and had a public hearing on Wednesday. So only three business days before that, as a couple of the legislators were pointing out in the committee hearing, over Labor Day weekend, that they required a lot of these legislators to kind of get in the mix. And they didn't show any of the Democratic legislators any of the drafts before they had introduced them. So you know, it's always interesting to see when the Republicans will snap into action in the legislature to try to do something. Right now, it just seems to be putting on a show to try and undercut the governor's goal to find a real solution for child care in the state. And none of these half measures and fringe issues that are, you know, just nowhere close to hitting the mark.
Yeah. It's because the governor's not focusing on what matters, Dan, and that's snowbirds.
That's right.
See, we found a way to work the snowbirds in at least once. There we go. Yeah. Dan Schaefer, Recombobulation Area. If you're not already subscribed, do so on Substack. Dan, really appreciate you joining us on this Wednesday afternoon. We look forward to having you back and continuing to cover all of these important topics across the state of Wisconsin next week.
Thanks for having me. Bucks next time, right?
Bucks next time. Bucks in six, eventually. So, folks, we'll talk to you tomorrow, 12:15.
Take it easy, party people.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Wisconsin traditions have been built for years around the Badgers, game day, and the mascot. But lead miners are the original Badgers in the state, not the animal or the mascot. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like Badgers by digging tunnels into the hillsides to stay warm and sleep where they worked. It led to the reason why today you really can't think of Wisconsin without thinking Badgers. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming
ABC
on the
News.
Civic Media
I'm Mike
app.
DeBus-